Afghans are scheduled to go to the polls in less than 3 months to elect a president, and with a paltry number of trained police, the government is turning to the country's warlords and their private militias for help. It's a deal that could come back to haunt President Hamid Karzai, as Michael Cavanaugh reports from Kabul.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning at the Kabul Police Academy. About 50 young men in green uniforms mill around and wait for class to begin.
You have a book in your hand. Tell me what's inside it.
I'm just studying human rights.
By the end of 2005, Afghanistan hopes to have 60,000 trained police officers. So far, the government claims to have trained 23,000, and almost half of those are stationed in Kabul. Ima Faroz is in the next class of bright-eyed recruits.
When I come here to continue and progress my study, to be a good officer for my country, to serve for my country, I don't care of my own life. I want to sacrifice myself for my homeland, for my society.
In 5 days, he'll finish his first-year exams and then report for a year of active duty to his home city of Jalalabad. In early June, remnants of the Taliban killed a police chief there in a bomb attack. And across the country, police continue to be targets of violence by Taliban gunmen and other Islamist militants.
I'm just nervous about that, why they are doing this. You know that we have 20 years war and fighting war in our country. Why they don't leave us to continue our life?
Security in much of Afghanistan remains in the hands of local warlords and their militias, and changing that has proved more difficult than expected. Lutfullah Mashal is the spokesman for the Ministry of the Interior.
The 23,000 newly trained police force are all loyal to the central government, but beside these police, we have some militia-like police forces in some provinces. We have some problems with those kind of people, but due to the small number of police forces, we sometimes rely on them because we do not have any alternative there.
Several hundred miles from Kabul, a dozen uniformed men with aging Kalashnikovs listen to music while guarding the airport in the northeastern city of Faizabad. They're one of the untrained militia groups that the government relies on for security. Across the street, poppy fields, the main source of money for many warlords, stretch for miles to the base of the Hindu Kush Mountains. But these men, mostly illiterate and none older than 22, can only laugh about it. They haven't been paid for over a month, and the eagerness of the Kabul recruits is a foreign concept to these young soldiers who confess only to boredom and to hunger. Although there's a chief of police in charge of security in every province, the militias still answer to their local warlord. According to Mohammed Musa Naimi Wardak, the head of the Kabul Police Academy, it puts the official police in an impossible situation.
We send 100 police to a province, and a warlord there has 5,000 soldiers. What can we do against 5,000 soldiers? Until the government does something, we cannot disarm them.
Wardak also blames the U.S. and NATO for not providing enough troops to disarm the warlords.
When the international forces first came here, the warlords were shaking from fear. But now they know the international community isn't going to do anything, so the warlords do what they want.
It's second period back at the Kabul Police Academy, and a brand new crop of recruits begin their first lesson in police tactics. By the time they're ready for duty in a year, Afghanistan should have a newly elected president and parliament for the first time in its history. But Afghan observers worry that if the Karzai administration continues to cut deals with the warlords, it could undermine the fledgling police force and perhaps the government itself. In Kabul, I'm Michael Cavanaugh.